community here in this passage. Before there were the disciples, and the disciples met, but now they are empowered to go out and actually do what Jesus said in Matthew 28, to go and tell all nations the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ, and to baptize them and to teach them all that he said and did. And when you look at this passage, it's quite amazing all the different people who were in the around them at that time. There were people from all over the known world. And it would be like, and it is, in fact, just like inner city Auckland today, where you have within 15 more minutes walking distance, something like 160 different languages. And so the kind of situation we see here in Acts chapter 2 is really quite parallel to today. And that's because, as we'll see, all the people had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Festival of Weeks, as they called this particular celebration. We'll come to that in a moment. But you also see in this passage, I think, God's strategy for mission and God's strategy for helping causing the church to grow. And then the people who are there, the people who are praising God, the people on whom this fire descends, are all what is known as and described as God-fearing Jews. Christians who were God-fearing Jews. In other words, they're ethnically Jewish and they were God-fearing. And that's the group of people who were there, 120 of them or so, and that's the group on whom the Holy Spirit came. People who become Christians but who are ethnically Jews. And the other interesting word there, just to note, is the word God-fearing. God-fearing. And what do we mean by this word God-fearing? It sounds like we're afraid of God. Do you think that's what it means? Are we afraid of God? Not entirely. There is a sense in which, yes, we do fear God's punishment and wrath, because God is a just God. God is a God who demands holiness. And when we fall short and we see the world fall short, then yes, there is a sense in which we might fear God's reaction and judgment on that. But of course, we know that God is a God of love, and God is both just and loving. And there's a creative tension right through the Old Testament and New Testament about this, that God is both just and therefore demanding, and God is also loving and therefore forgiving. And it comes out, you all know I love just dissecting words. It all comes out in the words like awesome, so much used today, everything's awesome, and awful. So it both comes from the word awe, and that's the original word for fear. And awe, something that's awesome today, is something that's really mighty and good and fun and excellent. And awful is something that's terrible. And so it's full of awe. It's something that strikes us as being amazing and very, very striking. And I think one of the things I remember, just from Taiwan today. So one of the things I just to mention of Taiwan, he's an example. I remember going along a street in Taipei and hearing the first thunderclap that I had heard in Taiwan. And it must have been only about 200 meters above. And it was an almighty thunderclap, and it was awesome. An awesome thunderclap. It was an amazing sort of sound that just struck you, but it was also awful and it kind of really terrifying, because it was not so high like it is here usually, but really very close and frightening. And so God is both just and good. He is both awesome and full of awe. In that sense of awful, it can be something that amazes us. And so here we see in inner city Auckland that we are like these people here in this passage. We are full, are surrounded by people with different backgrounds. Can we have the first slide there, just to keep up with the slides as they go through? The Christian community will be made up of, will be global and made up of former enemies. And when you look at the people who are in this passage, the people described, they come from places that were the enemies of the Jewish people. Even though they were Jews, they lived in enemy territory. And so they represent the languages and the people of those places. The next one, Robert, please. And so we come now to Acts chapter 2, and what is the day of Pentecost? Well, Pente is Greek for 50, And so the 50 is 50 days after Easter. So 50 days after Easter is Pentecost. And that comes, if you look back into the Old Testament, into Exodus chapter 34 and verse 22. And there it talks about the Festival of Weeks. And that was actually 49, not 50, but celebrated 49 days or 50 days after the Passover. And the 50 days were 7 full weeks after the first grains were taken into, the first harvest was made. So it's not celebrating the 7 weeks, we're not celebrating the first harvest, they're actually celebrating the whole harvest. And in some ways it's celebrating the whole gift of God, everything that God's given. All that has come in, it's all been harvested, and at that point people celebrated because they saw the entire, the full gospel, the full goodness of God coming to them. And so the Festival of Weeks was the 7 weeks and was the festival in which everyone celebrated the goodness of God and the outpouring of God, and they saw it tangibly in the grain and the goodness of God in the fruit of the soil. And so Pentecost, in the original sense of the Festival of Weeks, was about thanksgiving and gratitude and praise to God for the sheer goodness that he has given us and he gives us. And so Pentecost, in the Christian sense, is changed, but it's changed only to the extent that we're still giving thanks and gratitude, but this time for the fullness and God's love and grace and power coming on us in the Holy Spirit and in the Spirit coming to the church. So in the Christian calendar, there are 3 crucial celebrations. What are they? Each year we celebrate crucially. We have to celebrate, or should celebrate, 3 crucial times. One is in December, Christmas, and then Easter, and then Pentecost. And those 3 times celebrate the key points and the key messages of the Christian faith. The birth of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and today, the coming of the Holy Spirit, which creates us as the Christian community, who the body of Christ. And that again comes now to the words that are used for Christ here. The Pentecost is 50 days after the first grains of harvest. The promise of the Holy Spirit has been received in full and is overflowing. The next one, please, Robert. So God's strategy, begin with your neighbour and move out from there. So all these people who are God-fearing Jews, they are the ones who hear the gospel first. And next. And this is, what is the church? What is this Christian community? And it says here, the people are called out of their homes into a home to meet together, to prepare to go out to meet others in their homes or wherever. And one of the things you notice in here is that the word church is ambiguous in English, because it can refer to the church building, like we're in, or it can refer to the Christian community, which we are. And in this place, in this passage, we see people in not a church building, but in a home, because there are no church buildings just yet. And so the people gather in a home, and that's where the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And so wherever one understands the word church, and particularly as a building, it is a home. This place is our home, the home of ACPC. You are at home today. And so the home, the Holy Spirit comes upon the people in their homes. And so, but they're sent out of that home, out of this place, to other people in their homes. And so home becomes a very important concept in the church. We need buildings, we need a place to meet, we need a church, meaning church building. But the church, as the community of people, they go out to meet people in their homes and workplaces. Now the other great word is, of course, the word ecclesia. Can we have the next one, please? We'll go back one. Oh, we'll just leave it there at the moment. Ecclesia, the word ecclesia is Greek, and that's the word for church. Ecclesia. Ecclesiology is a study of the church. Ecclesia means church. But in Greek, it means called out. It means called out, eki, out, and ecclesia, to call. And so the church are those people who are called out. They're called out of their daily lives to come together to praise God, to worship God, to be together, and to meet in a home, in their home, be it a building or an actual person's home. And so they're called out of their daily context, out of the things that matter to them day to day, to meet together for the praise and worship of God. And then they're sent out as well. So they don't stay at home, they're sent at home, sent out. So Christians are not stay at homes. They are people who are sent out to meet others. And it's really important what we do here each Sunday, which is to give a testimony of what has been happening to us when we are out there during the week. It's really great that here in ACPC, each time the service leader will give us a short statement or a short summary of what's been happening to them in their lives during the week. And that's important, because when we are sent out, things happen. And we bring those stories back and we reflect upon them as we come back to each other, to meet each other. And so the church as a people are people who are coming and going. We are the people who come and go. We're people who go out and come back, and go out and come back. We are called out of the church, we're called out of our homes to come to church, meaning the church building, to meet together for encouragement and to build each other up. So, next one, Robert. So, there's two key things here that we see, the wind and fire. Acts chapter 2, wind and fire is what we have. Now, the Chinese character for wind is feng, as you see there. And what does it mean? It's got bugs in the middle. That middle one is bug, and the other one is wind. So you have there, when the wind blows, bugs breed. Right? That's a proverb or a saying. And so when the wind blows, the Holy Spirit blows us around and pushes us around, if you like, sends us out, sends us, brings us together. And when that happens, bugs breed. That's putting it negatively. We can say seeds are sown in the gospel sense. And the idea is that behind the Chinese character and behind the Christian understanding is that when we go out, seeds are sown, and seeds of peace and hope and love and grace are sown. We receive those seeds here today, and we take them out, and we are blown out of this church into the world around us. So wind means that we are taken out, we're sent out, we're blown out of the church, but we're taken out to the places that God wants us to go. The key thing about wind, of course, is who's ever seen wind? You've never seen wind. We all felt wind on our faces, but we know wind by seeing its effect of moving trees, and we see if it's wind, the wind moving. We know there's wind when we see our flags flying and trees moving. And we know the Spirit is there when we see the effects of the Spirit. We do not see the Spirit with our eyes. We see him moving in people's lives. And that is the movement of the Spirit, not seeing him or hearing him with our own ears. So that's one there. Robert, can we have the next one? That's the notion of fire. The fire is cleansing, but fire is dangerous. Fire is dangerous. John and Australian friends will know fire is dangerous, right? New South Wales fires every year, more or less, and very dangerous. But they're also cleansing, and they give warmth. And so fire is again, like God himself, just and loving. Fire gives warmth. It cleanses. Sometimes you need fire just to burn away the things that are rubbish, and which are cause pestilence and so on. And that happens in the desert. But they're also destructive. And so, again, we see this power of the fire. And this character, who knows how this character is made up? What is the character made up of? It's two things, two sides. Anyone who knows Chinese? Anyone study Chinese? Fire and hay, or fire and wheat. And so what it is in autumn, you have fire, and then you burn up the things that you no longer need. And the autumn is the time when you thresh out the wheat, and you get the part of the wheat which you want to keep, and then the rest is burnt. And so you get the good and the bad, and the bad is burnt. And so you find here, in this character, the thought that Jesus is both comes to judge, but he has also come to save. And so there's a challenge here of Jesus and the Christian community. Once again, this balance between the two. Now, of course, the other great issue that we see here is the question of tongues. And all these people apparently start speaking languages that they've never studied. Now, this has caused enormous problems over the years, over the 2,000 years, and we're not going to solve it today. So let me just make two quick points, and we can talk about it later. I'm sure there's lots of different views about this. But the first is that when tongues were used in the New Testament, they're always used for a purpose. In other words, there is somebody there who speaks that language and understands the gospel when spoken in that language. And so when somebody speaks in a language in the Bible that they've never heard, never studied, and it's given by the Holy Spirit, it's given with a purpose. It's never a selfish purpose. It's always interpreted so that people can understand, or there are people who speak that language who actually hear that language for themselves. The second thing is that when that language is spoken, it is spoken so that people can understand who Jesus Christ is. And that's the important thing. This is not for some sort of personal edification. It's for assisting others to understand who Jesus Christ is and why he has come. And so it has a very practical outreach purpose. And we can talk a lot about whether there should be tongues today and all of those questions. We can talk about that later. Just to say, though, that those are two biblical principles, that this phenomenon is for the promotion and the proclamation of the gospel. And it raises one other question. I just want to show you a video. It takes about 15, 30 seconds. And really, we're showing this simply because we all like Mark Maney so much. But I want you to just look at it and see what you think it means. Robert? Got sound?
No niin, lähtee tulee! Hei, 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 hei! Mikä tää nyt oikein on? Häh? Lähtkö mä ite näytä?
Pelicans, faster than ever.
No niin, ja turvaa!
Okay, that's right. What's it about? You've just heard, pretend you didn't get the subtitles. What's it about? What language is it? It begins with F. Scandinavian country. Finnish. It's a Finnish advert. And what's the sport? And we all love Mark and his Oilers. So we all know ice hockey now. Who are the Pelicans? They're going to be some kind of Finnish ice hockey team. And what is it doing? It's supporting the Pelicans, as saying they're faster than any other team, I suspect. And so if you didn't have the subtitles, that would look, you wouldn't really know what that was all about at all. Can you just play the game just for... And don't read the subtitles.
No niin, lähtee tulee! Hei, 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 hei! Mikä tää nyt oikein on? Häh? Lähtkö mä ite näytä?
Pelicans, faster than ever.
What did the goalkeeper do wrong? He let one in, right? He let one in. And so the coach is really furious at him, right? So what about Jesus? Do you think he gets like the coach if we let one in? No. The Holy Spirit restores and builds us up, but like the coach, shows us how to do it. And the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and takes us on. So as we finish, I just want to point to the second of our symbols here today. Who knows the story of these birds? the other great symbol of fire and birds. Who knows the story of Sadako Suzuki? Yes, Celia's right. Sadako Suzuki was 2 years old when the atom bomb dropped in 1945. When she was 13, she started getting lumps on her leg, and it was leukemia. And I think that's what happened. It was certainly leukemia. And she was given 6 months to live. She took an old Japanese proverb that said, if you make 1,000 cranes, then what you hope for will come true. And she got to 644. But her classmates were so impressed by what she was doing that they completed the cranes up to 1,000. And hoped that Japan would always be a place of peace and a place of hope. And so today, we've instead of the dove, we've got Japanese cranes here. And that's our hope, that our church will be a place where peace, which brings peace and which brings hope to others. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we come today, we pray that you would bless us as we seek to be channels of your hope and peace to the people around us, whatever language they might speak. We pray that when we express our hope in their language or in English to them, that we would be able to do so in ways that they can understand. Help us to understand for ourselves what it is that you have given to us and said to us in the gospel, and help us to become better Christians, a better Christian community, because you have come to us. We thank you for this day, our birthday today, our birthday as a Christian community so long ago, that we are linked to those first Christians, and that we are linked to every Christian who has ever lived and who will follow us. And we pray that we would be worthy of having the honor of being part of your family. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.